Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on CARE Radio. It is great to have you with us here today, and we thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's, our Sports Look sponsors. Well, the upcoming sports schedule, I tell you what, we're having the fun time between seasons and the mingling of seasons, but it is football this weekend on CARE Radio. Tomorrow night, from Amelia Earhart Stadium, it'll be Class 4A regional football. The Phoenix are going to be hosting Eudora. We'll have that game here on CARE Radio at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday, 12:45 at a pregame from St. Louis, we will be watching, for the first time ever, Benedictine at Missouri Baptist. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff Saturday for the Ravens and the Spartans. That said, Gus, I think, you know, we need to talk about this high school football playoff situation and the brackets, and there are a whole lot of teams around the area who have continued to move on and are now into regional play as this thing is already half of the teams are out.
Yeah, isn't that crazy that we're to that point in the season where, yeah, you're sitting there, you're looking around, and you're saying, man, some of those teams that we liked watching. I think that's why we talk about it all year. Hey, go out and enjoy your team, because, again, you're moving towards that time of the year where, you know, you're starting to weed them out and get down to, what are we in, like the final 16 teams maybe?
2, 4, 6, yeah, final 16.
So, where do you want to start?
Class 6A, I just pulled up the top one first. We're going to fly through this in the east. You've got Gardner-Edgerton will be at home with Shawnee Mission Northwest. Olathe South is going to be at the ODAC with Blue Valley Northwest. Olathe North, Blue Valley West, Olathe East, Blue Valley. There's a theme here, man. This is why they separated East and West. This is just why.
Yeah, and then you go out to Western Kansas. You've got Washburn Rural taking on Junction City. You're going to have Derby home with Lawrence. Free State is going to go to Manhattan, and Wichita East would be at Wichita Northwest.
Yeah, a lot of people say, wow, it'd be kind of cool if Lawrence and Free State played one another, but that won't happen because Derby's in the way.
Yeah, Derby is in the way.
Derby's kind of in the way. So that will give a quick look at 6A, Class 5A in the east. DeSoto, Topeka Seaman at DeSoto. Mill Valley and Spring Hill at Mill Valley. It will be Blue Valley Southwest hosting Lansing. And Highland Park continues to go on. How about that? They will have Shawnee Heights in another Shawnee County matchup.
On the west half of the state, you're going to have Capon playing Great Bend. May South will be at home with the Salt Hawks of Hutch. You're going to have Goddard Eisenhower at home with Hayes. And then Liberal is going to be home with Mays.
So there you have, quickly, Class 5A. Now we get into the local stuff.
Let's start getting a little closer.
Here we go. Class 4A and state regional football. And, of course, Atchison will be at home with Eudora. Atchison, the number one seed. Eudora got by Piper by a couple of scores last weekend to advance to this game. So it's the Phoenix and the Cardinals.
Yeah, you talk about Piper coming into this ball game. They're a team who's 5-4 overall. Their league record, they went 3-4 in the Frontier League. And you say, who's in the Frontier League? Well, of course, Lewisburg, Spring Hill, Tonganoxie, Baldwin, Eudora, Ottawa, Paola, Bonner Springs. So, Atchison's already knocked off one of these Frontier League teams last week in Bonner Springs, and now they're going to get Eudora this week. Eudora's wins have, they've knocked off Baldwin 48-7. They knocked off Bonner Springs 55-8, so somewhat similar to what Atchison did to Bonner last week. Now their losses. 31-28 loss to Spring Hill. So, close, respectable.
And a higher class team. By higher class, I mean a larger school.
Yeah. Then you lost to Ottawa, 17-14. Now, Atchison has played Ottawa in game one of the season, so that is, you know, an overlap team. You lost to undefeated Lewisburg, 13-7. Hammered Schlegel, 73-0. Lost at Tonganoxie, their worst defeat of the season, 21-7, so lost by two touchdowns. But then beat Paola 2 weeks ago, 28-21. Won against Piper last week, 28-14. So, again, this is a pretty good team here in this second round.
A team that one does not want to just overlook and be, you know, focusing on down the line. You got to take these things as they come. And Atchison, Eudora, we have that on Care Radio tomorrow night.
Yeah, so for our Phoenix fan, like, we can kind of look down the line at the Blue Comets, but if you're the Phoenix themselves, you probably shouldn't overlook a really good Eudora team.
You talk about those Comets. Chanute is going to be at home with, you talked about Tonganoxie. They beat Ottawa in game one.
And that is a game, though, between Chanute and Tonganoxie. They played way back on September the 15th. So that game was at Tonganoxie, and the Chieftains came away with a 38-21 win in that ballgame. That's Chanute's only loss this season, so... Again, that could be one to keep your eyes on.
Also in the East, you talked about Lewisburg. They are going to be at home with Bacer Linwood and Bishop Miege. The Stags host St. Thomas Aquinas Friday night. Going to the West half, and again, you don't have to go that far west. Wamego is at home with Rose Hill.
Definitely Western Kansas.
Yeah,
right?
Way out west. It's on the other side of Topeka.
See?
It's out west. Coffeyville goes to Wellington. It'll be McPherson at Bueller, and Abilene is at home. The Cowboys hosting Andover Central.
You look back, Coffeyville. How about that game last week? Coffeyville got by Augusta 60-50. So, you know, a defensive struggle there.
I'm just looking at this, and what is the furthest west team? Would it be McPherson or would it be Bueller? I mean, those would be the easily the two furthest west geographic teams. I would think of Class 4A. Hey, Class 3A, and we do away with that, that whole setup that we had earlier, and we're going to bracket this thing down. And in 3A, it's Frontenac at home with Burlington and Wellsville hosting Holton. Wellsville and Holton, that's a pairing that goes back to a lot of state championship runs. Prairie View will be playing Parsons at Lacine, and Topeka Hayden, who, even though the record doesn't reflect it, everybody, I think, has them penciled in as the number one seed in this 3A. Hayden is home with Santa Fe Trail.
Yeah, I mean, right now, start looking up and down at what Hayden's done this season. Undefeated, the only game they've given up multiple touchdowns was against Rossville. They beat them 49-23, so beat them handily, but also gave up three touchdowns. Have not played Santa Fe Trail this season. Santa Fe Trail is a team who is playing okay. I mean, they're 7-2. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, they got thumped by Wellsville earlier this year, 58-16, and then lost their first game of the year to Burlington, close, 50-44. So, I mean, they were right in that. So, a game definitely to keep an eye on. They are in that Pioneer League.
And the other side, you got Clay Center at home with Heston. So what do we got? Tigers, Swathers? Is that what we've got there, probably?
Yep.
All right. Cheney is at home with Holcomb. And now you're officially out west when you go to Holcomb, Kansas. I don't know how many times you've been there. Probably a handful.
That's why they're the Longhorns.
There
right?
You go. The Holcomb Longhorns come into the game at 7-2 out of the Great West Activity Center, and they know how to roll up points, numbers like 49, 61, 55, 55, 48, 35, so that will be kind of a fun one. Wichita Collegiate has Rock Creek at Collegiate, and at the very bottom pairing of the bracket, it is the Beavers and the Indians.
Scott City will be at home with Andale. So, Scott City, no problem with Smoky Valley last week, 51-14, Andale a 46-0 win over Hugoton.
In Class 2A, Riverton on the top of the bracket. They defeated West Franklin 58-0, and they will go on to play Humboldt, who beat Cherryvale 54-12. So you got to expect some points going to be scored in this Riverton-Humboldt game. A lot of teams from near us and with whom we are familiar in this bracket. Silver Lake is going to be at home with Sabetha. That's going to be a shootout. Sabetha's very good this year, and Silver Lake knows how to play in the postseason.
Yeah, Sabetha not giving up a lot of touchdowns this season, but Silver Lake, I know there's no C.J. Hamilton, but they're still a good team, right? They're 8-1 under Logan Pregum, and their only loss came to, Hayden, who won 56-7 in that contest. So,
Osage City, the Indians are hosting the Council Grove Braves at Osage City. Osage City and Council Grove with impressive wins. And then you come down to old Nemaha Central, and I'll tell you what, it is hard to imagine a team that is playing any better football than the Thunder is right now, as they are not only 9-0, they're the undefeated Big 7 champions in its final year of existence. But that's the thing that has most impressed me. Game one, Holton, okay? Holton scored a touchdown against them, okay? And they won, or by they, Nemaha Center won 31-6. It's the last time anybody scored on this team. They have given up one score. They've given up 6 points in 9 games this year.
Yeah, they've been playing really good defense. Their win margin has been, you know, pretty substantial, winning games like 69-0, 46-0, 48-0, 62-0. So, yes, I mean, they're a really good team. They're going up against a Riley County team who the Falcons are down a little bit this year. They're 5-4. They've lost to Silver Lake, Rock Creek,
and
Sabetha, and lost to Nemaha yeah. Central just a few weeks ago on the 13th of October, 30-0. So, again, you got to think you can just go ahead and pencil Nemaha across one more.
Bottom half of the bracket, 10th southeast of Saline, at hosting a gypsum against Kingman. Hoisington at home with Beloit. It'll be Ellsworth going to Garden Plain and rounding it out. TMP goes over to Norton. So there you have the Class 3 or 2A playoffs, and we go now to 1A. A lot of people around here familiar.
Because a lot of those teams are what I still think of as 3A.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's kind of crazy how the sizes of these schools have moved. Jayhawk Lynn is going to go to Pittsburgh, Kansas, and play St. Mary's Colgan in 1A postseason this weekend. Cobras of Jackson Heights will be at St. Mary's, and got to tell you what, you cannot, as well as Jackson Heights has performed this year, and I think surprising a lot of people, but they're always so good and always well coached. St. Mary's, 5-0 in the district, 6-3 overall. They lost their first 3 games of the year and have turned it around and have won their last 6 games. Nothing like being on a little bit of a run when you get into the postseason, scoring numbers like 62, 53, 45, 34, 60, 57.
And how often do we talk about that schedule, right? Early on, they played at Rossville, at Rock Creek, home with Silver Lake.
Yeah. And by the way, those three teams could all be in the finals.
Yeah, and I know that those are, you know, league teams in that Mideast, but, man, that's a tough road for a team like St. Mary's. And again, next week we could possibly have St. Mary's versus St. Mary's.
I suppose we could. Hey, Olpe, the Eagles will be at home with Central Heights. And rounding out that bracket, a couple of teams are so familiar with one another in the postseason. It is Centralia hosting Jefferson County North. We're going to have that on one of our sister stations, so you can tune into MSCsports.net and pick that up.
Yeah, you talk about Centralia right now, 8-1 in the Twin Valley League, okay? They knocked off Valley Heights this season in a close game, 18-16. They beat Christ Prep, 44-32. They had no troubles with Onega and Troy. Gave up 12 points to Jackson Heights. Their loss came back on the 6th of October to Garden Plain. They lost that one 35-6. But then have beat Riverside, Pleasant Ridge, and Oskaloosa last week, 50-14. So Centralia in back-to-back weeks going to have a home game. So
bottom half of the bracket, Smith Center. I will never think of Smith Center, not think of the streak. You know, Smith Center will be at home with Marion. Conway Springs hosting Sterling. Sedgwick has a trip to Valley Center. And it'll be Medicine Lodge at home with Hutch Trinity. And that rounds out the 1A postseason. So, again, we talk about it down to 16 teams, and we'll have it down to get to 8 and the small numbers here before you know it.
It's crazy, right? I mean, it's November. So, yeah, we're rapidly approaching the end of the football season.
Go to MSCsports.net. and look at the listings. We're covering, of course, the Atchison Phoenix game Friday night. There are all these other stations going to have all these other games. Follow your team and get out to the game, actually. You really just need to be there. That's the idea. But if you can't be there, or even if you're in the stands, you know, join us and we'll see if we see what you see. We're taking a break. We'll be back. We've got lots more Sports Look right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look. Good to have you along on this Thursday evening. And, Gus, last Saturday, it's a beautiful day out there today, and we've got a beautiful weekend coming up. Last weekend, the weather was not so cooperative, but it just doesn't make any difference because when Benedictine can go on the road, take a huge conference win, take a huge win against a longtime rival, and not just beat them, but absolutely dominate them in a game. I'll sit back out in the weather again to do that again.
So you're going to take that weather, right? It's one thing to sit out in that cold and the rain and lose a game, but it feels so good to come away with that thing and with a win. And again, Benedictine just looked dominant against Baker. They won, the last two games against Baker. And I'm telling you, right now, those are two programs that are in just different places at the moment. And so for Baker, I mean, we heard it before the game. You heard the PA announcer kept saying as they try to get back to being the program they want to be. And I'm like, I thought they were okay right now. But, yeah, you know, Coach Reggs in his first season has got a lot of work to do. And they'll probably get there, but I also won't have a problem if it takes a while for them to get there.
And anytime. Okay, anytime the team that you're following or you're cheering for, anytime they score twice before their opponent snaps the ball once, that's a pretty good start, and that's a precursor of a nice afternoon.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we talked about it quite a bit on Saturday as the game progressed, right? Because Benedictine got into the fourth quarter holding on to that. What was at that time is a 23-6 lead, and you're like, all right, now it's time to just run the ball, milk out the clock. Then you realize in the fourth quarter, Baker had one possession. It was 12 plays, 38 yards, out on downs, okay? They didn't touch the ball again the rest of the game. So, again, when you're fighting from behind, not only do you need to score in the fourth quarter, you probably need to possess the ball more than one time in the entire quarter. You look back at it, Benedictine, how about this? They had the drive to end the third quarter. It was an 11-play, 76-yard touchdown drive that took 7 minutes and 25 seconds. And then their last possession of the ball game, 5 plays, 10 yards, took 3 minutes. Which, again, that's what you asked your team to do. It was pretty impressive out of Benedictine.
And you know how you put together those long drives? You have guys like Dalton Witherspoon, 158 rushing yards, Jayshon Todd, 42, and Sean Wara, 41 rushing yards, and you are able to grind it out on the ground, keep the drives alive, mix in Jackson Dooley going 9 of 21 for 95, and the weather was awful. I mean, throwing the football was never, it was not going to be easy, and the constant rain, it was never not raining during the course of that ball game. Sometimes less intensely and sometimes more. It was cold, it was windy, it was all of those things that make throwing the football difficult, and yet the Ravens were able to mix in enough to keep the defense honest and to have a dominant offensive day.
But again, the run defense was good. Throw out Truman Ewell's guards, 14 rushes for 159 yards, and the only reason I say that is, 50 of it was on a third down scramble. But if you're just looking at what the Ravens did against the running backs, they held good rushers, right? Rashawn Graves and Gabe Martin are nice running backs. I mean, Graves was coming off 150 yards himself the week before against Missouri Baptist. They held those two to 19 rushes for 40 yards.
Yeah. Okay. Graves, 6 rushes for 8 yards, their best running back.
Yep.
And Gabe Martin, 13 for 32. If you can give up 2 yards a carry, the math is sound. We always talk about 4 times 3 is 12, and that's enough. But 4 times 2 is 8, that's not enough.
Yeah, the Ravens, how about this? It's 69 total plays on offense. 48 of those were rushes, and they were averaging 5.1 a pop. 5.1 a rush is going to win you some games, okay?
Yeah, and then let's just bring into it the special teams. And I know First of all, we need to tip the hat. Cullen Bruner was the Heart of America Athletic Conference Special Teams Player of the Week. Because besides the kicker, the kick coverage, okay, that set the tone for that game in literally the first 5 seconds, they were the difference maker.
Yeah, and I think when you talk to Coach Osborne, you're also going to – he'll want to probably talk about the kicker and his ability to kick it where he wanted the ball to be, right? Kicked it kind of high, kicked it to where you had to field it, but kicked it between the numbers and the sidelines. So, again, Lafitte had to go back a couple times. He had the first two kick returns and fumbled the ball both times. And, I mean, that kick return unit was able to punch the ball out and not just punch the ball out, get on top of the football, right? There's one thing to causing fumbles. There's a whole different animal of recovering that thing. And so the Ravens, with some takeaways, the defense with 4 sacks, 1.5 for Kevin Harris. Heath Baker added 0.5 sack. Isaac Anderson, how about him? He's got 3.5 sacks over the last two games. And I'm going to tell you, against this Missouri Baptist team on Saturday, he's going to feast as well.
Here's the thing. In the next segment, we're going to talk to Heath Baker, defensive lineman for Benedictine. He and Isaac and that whole bunch are pretty tight. And I think they push one another and make each other a lot better. And so we got Heath Baker, Atchison, hometown guy, coming up here very, very shortly. Around the conference, full slate, of course, and one noon game this week with Graceland at Culver Stockton. Don't know why that's at 12.
To get it over
sooner. Just to get that to go home. Mid-America is going to go to Missouri Valley. Here's a matchup of a couple of, you know, the storied teams in this conference.
They should let me decide game times around the conference, right?
Okay.
I could pick some times that these games should be played,
if
right?
You could start that one at 9 in the morning, it's done by noon, so you could actually go watch the game that
there,
you want to see.
There are some of these games that are over already, okay?
Mid-America at Valley and Marshall. Clark will travel to Peru State. It's all the rest are 1 o'clock games. You've got Baker going to try to get better at Central Methodist. Can they?
Yeah, that should be ugly.
Okay. You've got William, talk about ugly, William Penn is going to be hosting Grandview up in Oskaloosa. Grandview's on a mission right now. They've got some things they would like to prove. And, of course, the game we'll have here on K-Radio is Benedictine in St. Louis with Missouri Baptist at Spartan Field, I think it was.
Got to look back, and I'll do the research here this afternoon and kind of know by Saturday morning. When was the last time we were on the east half of the state there in the St. Louis area?
It had to be going to, I mean, Lindenwood, if you don't count Culver Stockton,
right,
it's going to
Lindenwood.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm calling Lindenwood, but, I mean, I bet going to Lindenwood has been longer than you would like to know.
Probably.
I mean, I'm going to say, let's see, I bet 9, 10, so I bet 13 years ago.
Really?
I bet it's been 12 years or more that since we've gone to Lindenwood. So it'll be kind of fun. It'll be good to see. You know, there's a really nice little gathering of Raven players over there in that St. Louis area. So good to check that. And how about this?
Yeah, we get to see a lot of our friends over there.
Only 2 games left in the regular season. So, again, this season winding down. Take a quick look at the national polls. Let's see. 1 and 2 stayed the same. 3 falls to 5, but that's just because Northwestern knocked off Morningside. Kaiser stays still at 6. You've got College of Idaho moving up to 7. 8, we'll see Georgetown. 9, Bethel, Tennessee. And 10 is Evangel. Let me have Evangel, right? You know, I think that's one of those teams where a lot of people in the playoffs are lining up and saying, we'll play them. We'll go to their place and play them. You've got Carroll at 12, 13 is Montana Western, Benedictine held at 14, St. Xavier, Illinois at 15, 16 is Texas Wesleyan, 17 St. Thomas, Florida, you've got 18 Dickinson State, 19 Ottawa, Arizona, and 20 Concordia, Michigan. Why did we just do the top 20?
Well, because they're the only ones that matter. They're the ones who are going to go into the postseason in the new expanded NAIA National Tournament format. Before, it was the top 16 teams, and now it's the top 20, and there's an entirely new way for more teams to get involved and for the teams in the upper echelon to get a little breather, you know, and that will come in handy for them. As what's going to happen, top 20 teams basically get in, the 13 locks, and then for conference champions. And then if you're in the top 25, you are eligible to be in that top 20, that 20 teams that get selected. The bottom eight teams, okay, teams numbers 13 through 20, will be paired up and play the week after the regular season ends. And then the winners of those will get reseeded in with the first group, and you'll have a 16-team bracket, and it will be a bracket then to the championship.
Yeah, so what happens is top 12 get a bye, okay?
Yeah.
So right now, Benedictine at 14 would have to play a game, okay? So they would, if you're going to stay true, they would get 19. They would have Ottawa, Arizona come in here in the first playoff game. With that being said, I think there's an outside chance that the Ravens move up to 12 by the end of the season, right? There are just a couple games going on in front of you that are going to help, and one of those happens this Saturday. Number 12, Carroll, is playing number 13, Montana Western, this week. So, again, you've got a shot to at least move up one there. Evangel has to play Southwestern this week, so if Evangel loses, you dip back into the top 12 and possibly get a home game. For Benedictine fans, you're kind of looking at this top 25. You're seeing Indiana Wesleyan maybe again and Marion down the road. I could see you playing Morningside yet again, which I think Coach Osborne and his staff would line up and say, let's go to Sioux City tomorrow. Because I think that that's one of those games that they look back, thought it got away from them a little bit, and feel like they are in a much better place than they were in week one.
Yeah, but in Northern Iowa, we saw it snowing there last week, so I'm not sure I'm so interested in that. All right, hey, real quickly, Lindenwood did the research, pulled out, I have my Encyclopedia Britannica down here, and I found the right page. Lindenwood was a participant and a member of the Heart of America Athletic Conference from 1996, concluding their affiliation at the end of the 2010-11 season.
Okay, there you go.
So it's been a dozen years.
Yeah. See,
13
about
years
kind of where I was thinking, you know, so crazy.
So there you have it. Well, anyway, Raven football this Saturday, and we will be with them in St. Louis. Happy to be there. I'm getting some emos. We'll be back with Heath Baker, and then after we have the chat with Heath, more sports talk here on CARE. We've got Heath Baker with us, defensive lineman for Benedictine. Heath, good to talk to you, man. How's it going?
Good. No, good to talk to you too, Tyler. How you been?
Good. Now, okay, we always like to start off, give me the Heath Baker biography. You know, like families, brothers, sisters, all of that stuff.
I'm Heath Baker. I'm from here in Atchison, Kansas. I grew up here. I'm the son of Bridget and Heath. I'm a senior Baker. I got two sisters, and both of them are still living here in town. I've been going to Benedictine for 3 years now, and I'm going into my senior year next year on the field.
Okay, let's talk about how you got to Benedictine, because when you graduated high school, you went down to Emporia for a minute.
Yep.
And then how did you end up getting recruited up here? Did you call, or how did you end up in Atchison again?
I ended up back at Atchison. I had a lot of friends on the team, and they'd been talking to me for a while, and they were like, wanting me to come back and play with them and everything like that. And at the time, I was like, it was a great decision for me to just come back and have the support from my family and my whole hometown. It was a good adjustment for me.
Now, you're not a Phoenix, right? You graduated before Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. I was a Redman. I grew up being around the Redmen. I grew up and I graduated as a Redman. I think two years before the change.
So how about any of your Atchison High teammates? Are any of them playing ball yet, or do you know that any of them have gone on still going?
I just played against one of my old teammates, Brent Clary, last week in Missouri Valley. I'm playing with Xavier Hernandez. He plays here with me at Benedictine, and I played with Gio Burke as well when I first got here as well.
So it's really got to be kind of cool. I mean, some guys say, I want to get away and go out of town, but by being close, how good is it, man? All your family, your friends, all these people can come and be a part of it for you.
I have a huge, huge support system here. I mean, every game day, my parents always have a big old tailgate, and they're always talking about there's 50 to 100 people that just stop by, come by, talk to them, stop into the game, kind of just watch. But I always have a huge crowd at the game. I'm always seeing people on the street, and they're always talking to me, oh, you had a good game, and always talking about how they're watching it from the house. It's pretty much a huge support system here for me.
when you played in high school, you were playing obviously both sides of the ball, mm-hmm. you know. Oh, so yeah. So how'd you pick the defense side, or did you pick it, or did it pick you?
It picked me for the most part. I was getting recruited on O line and D line, but at the end of the day, I had more offers for D line, so I chose the fact that I'm probably better defensive lineman than I was O lineman. So I went that route, and it's been a great route for me so far.
And you consider yourself, I mean, not just DN, but like you're like an edge rush guy, right?
Yeah, I play. It's part of the edge group. We have an outside linebacker. I'm more of the heavy guy, so I go toward the heavier end of the run spectrum. But it's I basically do it all. I can play inside. I can play off the edge. I can do everything.
Okay. Love the number 23, but that was not your high school number. What was your high school number, and how did 23 come to be?
So I started off with 65 in high school, rocked that all the way through high school, got to Emporia, I had 94 down there, and then when I transferred to BC, they gave me 98. I played that for a season, and we were going through number changes in the spring, and one of the older guys was changing from 90 to 9, so I took 90 from him. But throughout the off season, we were thinking that him and another player that we're wearing and I were going to end up on the field together at the same time. So they had to switch back to 90. So then he took the jersey back. So then I had to choose an open number, and a 23 just happened to land right in my lap at that point.
And what a great number. I mean, there's been a lot of pretty good athletes wearing 23 in one sport or another.
Yeah, it ended up that way, and I mean the athletes that I've wore, it's like LeBron and all of them, it just kind of worked out really well.
So, and you talk 90. I mean, we're talking Isaac, right?
Yeah, and Isaac, yeah, Isaac.
Of course. So let's talk about that defensive front. You guys, you feel like a real cohesive, tight knit bunch. Is it what I think it is?
Oh yeah, we're always working together, we're always talking on the field, talking about how. Okay, maybe we can move this direction and get an open spot for one of us to be able to get through really easily. We're always adjusting on the field, always during practice. We're talking about different schemes that we can run within our actual defensive scheme so that we're not out of line, but we can make them quick adjustments to get more sacks, more TFLs, anything we can get through with.
And you have, the team not only practices together, plays together, but you guys spend a lot of social time together. I mean, meals together and things like that. I mean, it feels pretty tight. Is this what it's like everywhere, or is Benedictine do it different?
That's a huge thing that I love about Benedictine. I've had friends and whatnot at other places, but I've never felt quite like I had a brotherhood until I got to BC. BC, like, we're always together, no matter if it's during the week. We're always working on homework together. We're always eating meals together. We're always just inducing that family aspect into the whole reality. Instead of having one clique, everybody is just as one unit. That's what makes it so great.
So what you're telling me is you got lifetime friends that you put together here.
Oh yeah, I'll have a lot of connections whenever I leave here, just for the pure fact that I have a lot of friends I've developed that close knit friendship with.
Heath Baker's joined us, a Benedictine defensive lineman, a hometown guy from Atchison. Heath, let's talk about the important things. Academically, what have you declared, and what are you seeing as your major?
I'm a physical education major, which is split into two different bachelor degrees. I'll have a secondary education and a exercise science degree with a coaching minor, because I'm wanting to go the more coaching route. That's what I always wanted to stay with athletics, so I wanted to keep coaching football after I get done here playing it.
So that was going to lead me right into my next question. Where am I seeing you, 5 years, 10 years down the road? Or where, more importantly, where do you see you being?
I see myself, hopefully, I want to coach college ball. That's where I want to end up at. But if not, I've had a few interests in coaching high school ball, possibly around here or whoever picks me up.
Have you talked to Coach Smith about retiring? Have you said, hey, Coach, you've been here a long time, let me help you out?
Coach, I've heard Coach talk about it a few times, but hey, it's whenever he's ready.
Well, Heath, let's talk about, some other kind of fun stuff. What do you have, like, as a hidden talent? I mean, do you have a musical instrument? Some of the guys have told me they're dance guys. I mean, what do you have? Anything that we don't know about you?
I'm pretty good at just making friends wherever I go. My thing is, I'm not good at an instrument. I'm not good at really any other sport besides football. I've always been, but my thing is, I can talk to anybody. Whenever I meet somebody, I feel like I've been friends with them for 10 years. I know everything about, I just like to talk whenever I get to meet somebody new.
Okay, so you're hanging out, let's say, you're at the house, right, with your teammates and your friends. Video games?
I play once in a while. I kind of get little spurts of playing for like a week or two, and then I quit playing for a little bit. But I'm more of a go with the flow type of guy. I like to just go and do what everyone else is doing. A lot of time we end up watching the games or here on campus or just hanging out anywhere, just doing whatever.
Okay, so some guys are big into one video game or another, and I'm sure you see some of those guys that are hunkered up in front of the TV.
A lot of the guys on the team love Madden. That's a big thing on the team. Everyone's always talking about playing that. I've never been a big sports game type of guy. I'm more of a first person shooter guy. I've always just played just kind of like Call of Duty or like a game called The Division. That's just kind of how I've always played video games.
Okay. Gatorade. What's the color? What's your flavor?
My flavor is definitely Glacier Cherry. That's the white one. That's always been mine. It's kind of an outside one compared to like red or blue or possibly even orange. I just always like Glacier Cherry.
Okay. Early bird or night owl?
I'm definitely an early bird. I go to bed around like 8:30 or 9. I'm an old man. I like to get to bed early. I'm normally up by 5 or 6 in the morning, getting around doing homework and stuff in the morning.
The guys have got to be all over you in that, right? They're saying, "Where's Heath? He's already gone to bed."
Oh yeah. I mean, even on the weekends, I'll hang out with the guys till about 11 o'clock, and I'm already in bed by then. And they're all like, always texting me, "Where you at? Where you at?" No, I'm in bed already.
I'm done for the night.
Yeah, I'm out.
That's awesome. Okay, I ask guys this question a lot of times, because you got guys from all over the country. You got the San Diego guys and, the Kansas City guys and this and that. I ask them, but I'm going to ask you, let's say it's off season and I bump into you, we're on the street, it's a Friday night. Where are you going to take me? What are we going to do?
We'll probably end up, if it's early on, I'll probably go get some food at Willie's. That's my go-to spot with the guys. We're always going to Willie's, especially like when the guys come back from California. Cause I got a few buddies that graduated a few years ago that they'll come back and we'll go to Willie's. Then I definitely say if we're going out, we'll probably start at Trotters. That's a huge thing right now that we've always been going to, Trotters. And possibly, or even if we'll drive down to KC and do like either something out at Main Event or something like that down there. But if we're staying in Atchison, it's mainly just we'll go to Willie's and get something to eat, hang out at the house for a little bit, and then possibly meet up with some other friends at Trotters or Mueller's or something like that.
Okay.
At main spots.
You a movie guy?
I'm not a big TV person. I've never really been, but.
Is there like one movie, that you have watched and you're like, man, I could watch this movie 5 times and the lines out of it?
I've watched The Patriot quite a few times. I'm probably an old show person. If I do watch anything multiple times, it's probably going to be The Patriot.
Okay. So are you a history buff or anything?
My dad is really into history. That's why I watch that so many times. My dad's really into history. He can pop off anything at any time. You ask him a question, he knows it.
That's incredible. Now, you're getting ready to go, down to Baker. We got Baker football, Benedictine. You're four years into the team now. I mean, you feel the rivalry. You feel like what a deal this is. tell me, what's the vibe on the team?
We're ready to go. We've been talking about it all week. The coaches have been, from the moment we got on Missouri Valley, they were up till probably 2 o'clock in the morning trying to get film broke down, and they're trying to get – everything they can think of just down to the small points, because our big focus right now is focusing on the little things that we can clean up, because we're a pretty good team right now and we're trying to become great, and that's the things we're working on right now, trying to get down there and prove that we can play well on the road and big games.
How is preparation for a game different or the same here as it's been like when you were down in Emporia? Do they prep different? Is there more film work, or do they do it kind of the same way?
It's pretty similar for the most part. The coaches just they're in the film room every single day trying to find the most little thing that they can get through, that they can try to break up an offense, break up a defense. But it's pretty similar. I probably didn't see too much of it down in 4A for the fact that it was during COVID, because we only had two games in the spring. So it was more of a spring game scrimmage. So it wasn't too much of a difference. Besides, there's definitely more detail here, but probably didn't see as much down there since it was during COVID at the time.
Heath Baker's with us. Heath is like the biggest rush if you can get in the backfield and sack the quarterback. I mean, is that like the goal? Is that the deal?
Yeah, that's my favorite thing. Right now, me and Isaac are going back and forth, because I'll be the leader of the team on sacks one game, and then he'll pop off and have a few more sacks the next game and become the leader of the team at that point. So me and him kind of have a little rivalry going in on that. So that's what really draws me to playing D-line, is just that rush of feeling when you do get a sack, because how difficult it can be at times.
And that defensive front of guys, I mean, what they are just solid. I mean, side to side. I mean, these guys are big, and they are all good.
Oh, yeah. We've been working for a while. We got blessed whenever we got Tim Glazer to come down here and play with us from South Dakota, whenever his brother was recruiting to come down here. We were blessed that whenever me and Isaac – I came in the same year, a few years back, and then as well as Jared was a great filler whenever Tyler left last year.
Okay, two more things, and then I'll let you go. Number one, are you following the Phoenix now? They're having a tremendous year.
I'm actually going to the game tonight. This will be my first. I keep telling I talk to Trey Carter once in a while. I talk to Jeter a few times, and I keep telling them I'm coming to the game, but I always get caught up in the homework or something like that where I can't come, but I will be there tonight. I want to see him beat Bonner Springs.
There you go. And I got one last question. Here's the toughest question of the whole thing, so you got to get ready for this. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. Which is it, man?
Batman. Batman's going to be – because he just kind of – he's always there. And it's not like he has a superpower. He always fights through the grit no matter how hard it's going to be for him to win at all costs possible. I mean – Superman, he's super strong, he can fly. Spider-Man, I mean, he has powers as well. Batman, he wasn't really gifted with anything. The only thing he has is his grit.
There you go. Heath Baker, it's been a pleasure, man. I appreciate your taking the time, and best of luck to you and the Ravens through the regular season and beyond.
Thank you for having me.
Back with you here on Sports Look on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison. Gus, the Kansas City Chiefs did not look very Chief-like last Sunday. They went up to the Mile High City, and they just looked bad at losing to a not really good Denver Bronco team, a team that had given up 70 points not that long ago to Miami, but they beat the Chiefs 24-9. Chiefs couldn't even get into the end zone.
Yeah, it felt like one of those quicksand games, right, where everything you do just doesn't work right. I mean, Kansas City would get a big sack and all of a sudden would have a defensive holding down the field that would cause them 5 yards and then give, you know, Denver new life, give them another big possession. For Kansas City, it was just one of those games that you wipe away and you've got to get better this week. So, again, I don't think it's one you really dwell on too much because, again, you look at some of the rankings and things. If the playoffs were to start today, where are the Kansas City Chiefs?
One?
Yeah, they're one. They're getting a bye. They're going to have everything at home if they want it. So, again, don't get me wrong. You hate losing those games because that's one of those where at the end of the season you really want back. But, again, you just – you can't afford to lose those, but you're still okay.
Yeah. Again, I just don't think that – I'm not sure. Are the Chiefs as good as they were 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
No. I mean, not right now. I think, though, that you give these guys another 5-6 weeks, they're going to figure it out because I feel like they've earned that, you know. The coaching staff has earned that. The front office has earned that. You know, you win a couple world titles, and all of a sudden you kind of get a little more leash.
Can they figure it out, though, with a nice strudel in front of them this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. How about that? At 8:30 in the morning kickoff, Kansas City 1.5-point favorite. A little surprised about that after what the Dolphins have been doing and what the Chiefs have. But, you know, you start talking about man, the Dolphins are playing really good football. Everybody likes the Dolphins, and they are going to be the darling because they scored 70 points the other day. But do you realize that the last time that the Dolphins beat a team with a winning record, you have to go back to September 25th of last year. That time the Dolphins beat the Bills 21-19. So,
well, it should be a good one. Chiefs, Dolphins, Sunday morning. Get up early. And 8:30 it is. Tonight, your Thursday night tilt, Titans at Steelers. You know, I don't know if there's a ton of Titans or Steelers fans around.
Yeah, it doesn't. The game doesn't do much for me. The interesting thing I will keep an eye on is the Titans made the switch to Will Levis last week, and he was the draft pick out of Kentucky, fell down the boards. He had a really good game last week, but a lot of quarterbacks have good games in week one, right? Because teams just don't have any film on him. I'll be interested to see how the Steelers approach him, what happens tonight. Pittsburgh, a 2.5-point favorite in that. No points are expected to be scored as the over-under is 36.5.
Well, Seahawks are going to be the premier noon game. Seahawks, Ravens, Sunday at noon. You know what? I've never been a Carroll fan. Baltimore, -6. That's a lot in an NFL game, but they can cover that.
Yeah, I think they do cover this, right? The Seahawks traveling. You also think about that. They're going from west to east coast, I mean, and so it's going to be an early game for them. I mean, that would be a 9 o'clock Seattle time kickoff. Baltimore's playing well. Like, they've started to figure out, we kind of laughed a couple weeks ago about how if you needed a team to kick a 30-yard field goal or in, it was going to be Baltimore. Well, now they're starting to figure out how to punch those in and get sixes instead of threes. I think right now Baltimore is trending to be one of the more dangerous teams in the NFL.
What people consider to be, most people, at least many people, consider to be a preview of the NFC title game. It is Cowboys at Eagles Sunday. There'll be a lot of eyes on this one.
I think preview of the NFC title game is correct when you talk about the Eagles. I'm not really sure about the Cowboys. They will find some way to go out in round one of the playoffs. But yeah, the Cowboys are playing good football. Their defense, who... when Diggs went down, everybody said, man, now they're going to be in trouble. And I really was kind of in that boat, too. I thought they were going to be a little more exposed, but their defense has stepped up a little bit. Bland has played really well at that backside corner. So, I think the Cowboys are better. I don't really like what I've seen from the Eagles in the last couple weeks. But, again, they're going to be amped for this one. Eagles -3, I think that's probably not enough.
Sunday night, Bills and Bengals. If you had said, you know, in August, September, about talking about this game, you just said, wow, and it's still going to be a big one, but not necessarily for the same reasons.
Yeah, I think it's one of those games where, you know how often we look at some of these primetime games, and we're going to do it with the Monday night game here in a second, and say, wow, did you ever think that was going to be a good game? Well, you thought that Bills-Bengals were going to be good, Bengals trending upwards. The Bills are kind of interesting right now. All of a sudden, Josh Allen pops up on an injury report yesterday, didn't practice, and so now people are like, wait, what's wrong with him? What has happened? I think this could be a fun game to watch, right? I expect it to be kind of close.
Of course, then we go to the Monday night game you alluded to it a moment ago with the Chargers and the Jets, a couple of teams for whom people have very high hopes coming into the preseason, but those teams have just not performed.
Yeah, and the people in the desert don't expect many points, right? 40.5 is the over-under. I don't know. The game doesn't do anything for me. The Jets have been a team who can't score. I know they've got some weapons on offense, but again, they just haven't done it yet. The Chargers should win this game.
Going to the NCAA football Saturday, you're going to have Kansas going to Iowa State Saturday at 6 o'clock. Even though KU's number 21 and Iowa State is unranked, Iowa State at home is still a favorite.
Yeah, Iowa State is 5-3 right now. They are the favorite in Ames, a 2.5-point favorite. I think Kansas right now has just kind of figured out what to do.
They're feeling
it. Yeah, and right now they're a tough out, especially after that win over Oklahoma. I think the people out in the desert are thinking maybe a little bit of a Oklahoma hangover. I don't think that's going to happen in this spot.
Does K-State go on a skid and lose two in a row?
They've had Texas's number over the years, and so I don't know. I mean, I think Texas is playing really well right now, but I am not going to be shocked at all if Kansas State goes down to Austin and comes away with a big win. I mean, Texas minus 4. I'd take the Cats if you're going to give me 4 in that game.
Saturday afternoon, here's the big one. Oklahoma State. It's so big for a lot of reasons. Not only because they're both in town, but they're not going to play again, maybe.
Yeah, is that a little upsetting, right?
Like, it would be. If I was a Sooner State person,
right.
It would be.
I mean,
yeah.
Bedlam has been a thing for so many years, and it's just, even if you're a Big 12 fan, you always kind of looked out for Bedlam, because again, Red River rivalry, that's okay, I mean, but I don't need Texas in my life.
And that will continue.
Yeah, but there's just something about Oklahoma State. You talk about two teams who just stand at the middle of the ring and throw haymakers. Oklahoma could easily lose this, right? Oklahoma State is just really good, okay? They beat Kansas State earlier this season. They beat Kansas earlier this season. I think they're going to beat Oklahoma on Saturday, and I'm going to tell you, if they got the shot to run one up on Oklahoma and send them out of the conference, they will. So that should be a fun one.
Well, you know, Missouri would like to roll up a big score and just steamroll Georgia, but that's not going to happen.
Can I tell you, yesterday I thought, oh, I knew it was Georgia, Missouri, so I had to go back and look to make sure it wasn't in Columbia, or we'd probably have to leave an hour earlier than normal.
For
but
the traffic.
No, that game going to be between the hedges. Georgia hasn't been playing as well this season as they have in the past. They're still number 2 in the country. Missouri's been playing great football, but I think this is where they stumble again. UGA, a 15.5-point favorite there.
Probably the best game in the nation this weekend is going to be Saturday night, as you're going to have LSU at Alabama. Neither team is having a season they thought. Both teams want to get well here Saturday night.
Yeah, and for Alabama, if they want to keep their hopes alive to get into the college football playoff, they cannot lose this one to LSU. And so, again, it should be a great game. LSU is, you know, struggled at times, but again, you know, they're going to be amped up to take on Alabama. I still think Alabama wins that, and I still think that, you know, 3 is probably not enough.
Big Pac-12 guy like you has circled Washington and USC. Let's be honest, those Huskies are playing pretty good football.
Yeah, you talk about Washington and Michael Penix Jr., the transfer from Indiana. He's right now probably one of your Heisman favorites, taking on the former Heisman winner and coming into the season Heisman favorite in Caleb Williams. USC has just not been what I think people expected it to be. So, yeah, I think Washington wins this game. It's a 6:30 game. Washington, a 3-point favorite. Now, you talk about all the games we listed. These were like the pertinent games going on around college football this year or this week. Can you believe I threw in a Pac-12 game? I know that's crazy.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
But you do know what I left off, right? There is not a single Big Ten game in there, because who cares about Nebraska and Michigan State this weekend, okay? Or Ohio State and Rutgers. I mean, people think this is a good football conference. Iowa is going to play Northwestern. First team to 5 wins, okay? It's like basketball. And Purdue is going to play Michigan. You know, if Michigan's not stealing signs anymore, I mean, maybe they lose to Purdue, but I doubt it.
Well, we're going to also have to take a quick, before we wrap things up here, tip of the hat to the people down at Arlington. Congratulations. 50-some years in, and a big World Series W for the Rangers.
Yeah. What was this, the first World Series between two domed teams, I think, is what I saw.
Right?
That was kind of crazy. But yeah, the Rangers played really well. They got some big plays in the playoffs. And yeah, I mean, kind of cool to see them win a world title. You see Chris Young, the former Royal pitcher, who was a really good pitcher on the year they won in 14.
I love that big old lanky guy,
and
man.
And the GM for the Rangers, Dayton Moore, is like a special assistant to the GM, I think. So, again, good to see all those, you know, all those guys get another ring. You saw Darlis Chapman get another one for the Rangers. So, again, Rangers, hats off. Good for them. Hey, we will talk real quick about the Big Ten. I think Indiana knocks off Wisconsin this week because, again, you know, for Indiana, a lot of feels going on right now.
Yeah, that's it. We'll leave it at that. Sad time, as one of the greats in all of sport has passed away with Bobby Knight. Our sports schedule, absolutely packed up, jammed up. And we're going to be up at Amelia Earhart Stadium tomorrow night. It's going to be the Phoenix and the Cardinals of Eudora, 7 o'clock kickoff. Ravens in St. Louis will be there. Care pregame.
8:00 kickoff, Benedictine Football Saturday. Gotta thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Tim will greet you next time. For Gus Counts, Tom Counts. So long, everybody.